This talk is offered by Ordinary Mind Zendo. Ordinary Mind was founded by Barry Magid, Dharma heir of Charlotte Joko Beck, and is dedicated to her vision of a psychologically minded Zen practice adapted to the needs of American students practicing in the context of their everyday lives. Our public programs are made possible by donations from people like you.
As we're about to break for the holidays, I thought I would say a little bit about Zen's attitude towards leisure time. And it would, as you imagine, be very little that Zen has to say on the subject. What we normally are taught has to do with a life of continuous practice, continuous awareness that often is synonymous with continuous discipline and form. Now, we do have the same, when you're hungry, eat. When you're tired, sleep. I have yet to see that in force at any sesshin or monastery. It is a kind of Taoist maxim of returning to naturalness. That is a certain kind of ideal of practice, with the assumption that it's just the opposite of what we normally do. Instead of eating when we're hungry, we overeat for self-stimulation or undereat out of a desire to diet ourselves into physical perfection. We typically don't get enough sleep or sleep too much out of depression or laziness. That whatever natural ideal that phrase represents, it's something that is anything but natural to most of us as we live. We have a corresponding kind of maxim, and I think they're sometimes both attributed to Yakujo, where he says a day without work is a day without eating. And that certainly doesn't seem to offer you much chance for vacation or leisure. But again, I think that saying is easily misunderstood as you need to earn your keep, that you need to work in order to deserve getting fed. I don't think that was his intention at all. The story goes that when he was an old man, his students thought he was getting too frail to work in the fields with the rest of the monks, and they hid his tools, at which point he just went back to his room and refused to come down for meals. And when they asked him why, he said, a day with no work is a day with no eating. And the idea there is a holistic one, one that says eating and work and activity, sleeping, meditating, these should form a seamless whole. You can't take one piece out of it and have it function. We're not here to pick and choose. We're supposed to be able to take life whole, and that wholeness is going to include our work, our meditation, our schedule, our meals. Now, when we come to holiday time, vacation time, there's a disruption in the structure of our daily lives or routines. And it's paradoxical that many people crave that time off or vacation time all year long, and then when they're in the middle of it, they find themselves quite miserable. People don't really do as well without structure as they think they do, or wish they would. Holidays have the added complication that either we're sad and pining away for the family that we wish we had or that we're separated from, and the holiday is a opportunity to compare ourselves to all the people who are off having happy family lives. Or, on the other hand, the holiday is a time when we're thrown back together with this motley crew of people we have nothing in common with, and we have to sit around the table making small talk and being miserable and pretending to have a good time. So either way, the holidays are often far more fraught than the image would suggest. That's why Trungpa, you know, famously said, if you think you're enlightened, just go home for the holidays. Whatever equanimity you think you have is often very sorely tempted in the company of our alleged loved ones, right? The problem with holiday time, certainly in Japanese Buddhist tradition, is that there's a kind of all or nothing quality to it, where when you're in the monastery or practicing, you're living this very structured, rule-given life. But when you're away, it's as if all the rules go out the window. And certainly there's a tradition in Western Buddhism of great self-indulgence when the rules don't apply. And I think that, in a way, we're trying to find our way back to something that is a sensible practice way to have unstructured leisure time. And that means usually bringing some structure to it. I remember, I don't know where it was, maybe in Opening the Hands of Thought, where Ujiyama Roshi's students, in some question and answer period, ask him, what do you do for fun? And he sort of laughs and sort of first explains that the idea of fun is more or less antithetical to Zen, and that the idea is, because we're non-separate from all the activities of our daily life, that kind of immersed, wholehearted functioning is our flourishing, is our happiness, right? So that's a pretty good answer. But they pressed him a little, and he acknowledged, well, if you're going to really ask, it's true that at the end of the day, my toes often get very cold, and what I like to do is line up three shots of whiskey and drink them down one after another. And that gives me pleasure before I go to sleep at night, you know. So it's that kind of way in which leisure is dissociated, you know, split off from how we think we're doing things most of the time. Joko said we need to suffer intelligently. And I think there's a flip side in which it's probably just as important to learn to enjoy ourselves intelligently. When we adopted the revision of the meal chants at Sesshin, we put in the line about enjoying our food. We don't just take the food medicinally to maintain our practice. We acknowledge that there's enjoyment involved, and that I think one of the virtues of putting that in there is that we can acknowledge the legitimacy of enjoyment at the same time we put it into a container where it's just enough. Orioki means just enough. It's not overindulgence. It's not throwing all the rules out the window and doing what we want, but it's using the form and the ritual for the sake of enjoyment. These don't have to be antithetical to one another. I think it's very important for us, particularly as lay people, to reestablish the legitimacy of enjoyment, the legitimacy of desire, of attachment, of relationship, of pleasure in our daily lives. We're not trying to establish an ethic of asceticism or abstinence as synonymous with the Dharma. In part, the point of our practice is our happiness, but happiness redefined as a kind of flourishing, as a wholehearted engagement in our life and a kind of sensibility, not as perfectionism and not as pure pleasure seeking, but enjoyment. So that is how I think we should look forward to this time off. See if we can practice enjoyment, learn to enjoy ourselves intelligently.